Welcome once again to another episode of Mike, Mike, and Oscar, and this is one of my favorite episodes of the year because I have a crippling gambling addiction. So let's talk about some lines, odds, and money. It is our Oscar pool slash Oscars gambling preview and official picks show. Mm-hmm. I am your co-host, Mike One. This is co-host also Mike.
Also Mike here. I'm worried about the look in my co-host's eye. He is the devil on your shoulder. I am the angel in this episode. Do not bet these things. I'm kind of focused more on the prediction angle of it, the Oscar pool. I like to mitigate risk. $20 Oscar pool is a fun way to make the night interesting to me. Actually, calling a bookie whose name has a nickname involved, like Jimmy the whatever.
Tuna the Fish. Yeah.
Jimmy the Fish Richardson. Don't call Jimmy the Fish Richardson and bet on, you know, anything 4-11 or 4-1 or whatever these odds mean.
I can't disagree more with my co-host, and we're going to walk you through. That's the whole point of what we do today. These are both, as we said, these will serve as our official picks and predictions for Oscar Sunday, as well as we're going to go through some of the gambling lines to help you if you want to place a wager or two. Maybe you're part of an Oscar pool at work. We're going to tell you where the best value is, what the best bets may be, et cetera, et cetera. You're laughing
this
at me.
This is the devil.
Yeah.
And you are the devil. And I am the mother in the water boy this entire episode. So...
Fair enough.
It's going to go poorly.
Yes, but this is what we decided to do, Mike. You agreed to this, so let's talk about it. We're going to walk through basically what the odds mean, and for those of you that maybe don't gamble, so we talk about 4-11.
We're going to enable you to lose your savings something.
We're going to tell you basically... what it all means, because also Mike, you didn't know. I mean, last year you were kind of a neophyte as far as the gambling odds went and understanding what they mean. So maybe some people need a refresher course. So let's talk about just strictly the best picture odds as a for example before we get into picking it. Mm-hmm. Talk about what do odds mean? Now, Groma is listed at something like a 4-11 odds, which is basically means the front number is the indicator of what the odds should be. So if you have 4-11 versus, let's say, Green Book, which is listed at 4-1, 4-1 is where you make money. 4-1 is also the equivalent to plus 400 odds. It means for every dollar you risk, you can win $4 back plus your original bet. So if you bet $100 on Green Book at 4-1 odds, you would win $400 if Green Book wins Best Picture, and that's where you placed your money. So you'd win $400 plus your original bet back, so you'd walk away from the counter with $500. So, 400 being profit.
And explain the Roma odds to me, because the other fraction scares me.
Sure. So the Roma odds, let's say it's 4-12, because that's a nice, easier, rounder number.
Yeah.
That would be, you'd see that also listed as minus 300. And what that means is that, so the Green Book, it's 4-1. So that would be listed on the board as plus 400. Roma would be minus 300 in this circumstance, which means that for his Green Book, when you bet $1 and you win $4, Roma's kind of the opposite take. Anytime there's a minus in front of the sign, if it's minus 300, you need to bet $3 just to win one back. So every dollar is basically 33 cents for your investment. So if you were to bet on Roma, if it was 4-12, I know it's 4-11, but that's close enough. If you were to bet on Roma at minus 300 odds or 4-12 odds, you would need to bet $300 to win $100 profit plus your original bet back. So you bet 300. If it wins, you walk away from the counter with $400, but only 100 is profit.
So the higher rollers tend to bet the favorites more.
Not necessarily. It all depends on how sure you are in the bet, which is a fool's fallacy, I know, entering a casino anyway. But that's how you look at it. If you're sure, there was a famous story a couple years ago, Viola Davis, for her supporting actress gig in Fences. She was listed in some books as 1-50 odds. And somebody put a $10,000 bid down at one of the casinos. I think, I want to say MGM maybe, but maybe it was a William Hill establishment. Somebody put a $10,000 bid on. They didn't win all that much money. Ended up winning, like, I don't know, what's that, $200? But it was a profit because they were sure it was going to happen. It did happen. She was listed at that high for a reason, and it was pretty much a slam dunk. Could that backfire? Absolutely. My favorite story is that professional wrestling is actually, you can bid on that. Usually it's big across the pond there in Europe, and there was somebody, I think, in Ireland that bet the Undertaker fighting Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 30 was negative 16,000 or 1,600, I think was the line.
Yes.
Meaning that if you bet $160, you get one back if he wins, because he was such a heavy favorite. Somebody went into the casino, placed a bid of $64,000 on the Undertaker to win, to beat Brock Lesnar. He lost, and so that money was all gone.
Michael, I would rather bet on the weather. On the fucking weather than the WWE, because isn't the WWE scripted?
Yes.
It's scripted. Just we all know this.
Just don't call it fake.
I'm not saying it's fake, but I'm saying it's scripted so that if World Wrestling Entertainment sees a big number on somebody and they are in business with the casino in any way, shape, or form, they could easily...
Are you saying that professional wrestling may be unscrupulous?
With impunity, script, last minute, Brock Lesnar or The Undertaker winning in that scenario.
Yeah. So it's... professional wrestling is a pretty extreme example, obviously, because it is predetermined. The outcomes are predetermined. So it's... You're kind of taking your life into your hands a little bit with that one. But obviously, sports betting is becoming more mainstream otherwise outside of pro wrestling. We're talking about the Big Four awards. We just had our conversation with Scott Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter, where he clued us in and said that Atlantic City, which is the hotbed for gambling here on the East Coast, has just started taking Oscar bets for the first time ever, as they just allowed sports betting earlier this year. So if you want to, if you're on the East Coast and you want to go down to one of those establishments, we do this podcast from Connecticut, where two of the biggest casinos in the world are, Mohegan Sun and Foxwoods. And it seems like weekly in the news now, the legislation here is talking about a way to legalize sports betting and implement those changes into everyday society.
Dear God, please don't. Otherwise, we got to start, you know, we got to move to another state where sports betting isn't available so that Mike, and Oscar can live.
But that's a breakdown of the odds. Yeah, this podcast would end real quick. That's a breakdown of the odds and what they mean and what the interpretation of them are. If you've been with us for a long time listening, we're not going to really relitigate the merits of what we think is going to win.
Nine pods. We just did nine podcasts where we did all the categories, why they'll win, why they won't. We're going to have one sentence explanations to explain our picks after we make them. But basically, this is about looking at the odds, which in a big way says a lot about these categories.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Vegas is trying to make big money off of this.
Vegas makes money.
They make big money off of this every year, I'm sure, just as they do for any of the events that they, you know, take action on. Am I getting the lingo correct?
You got it. You're good so far.
Bottom line is, that's why they build the big casinos.
Mike's going to leave here with one less kneecap today to get a really authentic experience about what it's like to gamble on these things. But yeah, so again, we're not going to try, we're going to try not to repeat ourselves. If you have any interest as to why we are thinking one way or the other, like Mike just said, we had nine category review episodes. That's where we took the individual Oscar nominated categories one by one, went through them and took every individual nominee, laying out the blueprint and the case as to why they will win and why they will not win this Sunday on the Oscar stage. So as far as that, that's already been decided, or at least hashed out amongst us,
right?
But we haven't made our picks yet, and we kept saying at the end of every Perfecting Perfection at every category review, our picks are coming. This is not, you know, the Perfecting Perfection, the category reviews weren't necessarily who we think will win. It's just who we preferred as far as the ballot if we were an Oscars voter. Well, this is who we think will win. It's not necessarily who we think should. That's going to be coming at the Mike, and Oscars Award Show, which we'll hit on at the end of this episode. We still need those categories. We're still collecting them. You guys are doing a great job at those. If you want us to comment on any kind of category that you create for the Mike, and Oscar Award Show, you have a couple more days to do that. Be sure to send
you
those
have
in.
Like tonight to do it. So basically that's it, because the next day we're putting it out.
Yeah, pretty much. So you got a couple more hours, so look forward to that. But otherwise, this is just who we think will win. And just as a little precursor, before we dive right into the odds, for those of you that maybe are only interested in the gambling and haven't listened to us before, welcome aboard. This is Mike, and Oscar. You are joining us for the craziest and most wide open Oscars race ever.
It is an unprecedented year. The Academy has been thoroughly unpredictable. They've only been predictable in the sense that Jason Statham at the beginning of Snatch, or was it Lockstop? I think it was Snatch, said, "Never underestimate the predictability of stupidity." Now, maybe they're smart like foxes.
Yes.
Or dumb like foxes. You know, maybe they're dumb like foxes in this whole scenario where they've been leaking out all these test balloons that they knew would blow up in their face just to take the hit like sadomasochists because they know it'll work for their ratings at the end of the day.
I hope that's the case. Maybe they're the smartest people in the world that have done that, because no news is, or any news is good news, I guess. But usually at this point in the award season, we have, what, 3-4 major categories, probably more, that are sewn up?
I would say most of the major categories last year were sewn up. I mean, I think I would say, you know, of the 8, probably 5 of them were sewn up.
And legitimately this year we have 2 of the 8 major categories, the big categories. We're going to go through...
Maybe 3.
We're going to go through all of them. We're doing all 24.
At least 20 minutes on the short film. Get ready. Big segment.
And we're going to give you... We are going to give you reasons, but we're not going to get into the arguments and the minutiae of the reasons. So if you've just joined us, welcome aboard. This is Oscar Week. This is Mike, Mike, and Oscar. This is the Gambling Prediction Oscar Show. So let's get into it.
So Joey the Big Toe Gravoni at oddschecker.com.
There's going to be some listener out there that's Joey Gravoni. It's like, how dare you?
Says Roma right now is 4-11. Green Book is 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
The Favorite is 18-1.
Mm-hmm.
Black Klansman 22-1.
Yes.
Black Panther 25-1. Bohemian Rhapsody 33-1. A Star Is Born all the way down at 50-1.
God.
And Joey the Big Toe has no faith in Vice, 100-1, Michael.
So let's talk about who Joey the Big Toe is for purposes of where we're getting these lines from today. We're going working primarily off a bunch of different lines listed at oddschecker.com.
Right. I am a mishmash in what I took. I tended to take the worst odds in a way. I didn't know what number. Yeah, one was bolded, one was pink, one was blue. I just took numbers that made the movies look good.
Well, and that's fine, because that's the practice of gambling here, and gambling in this type of way. You can go shop around and look for different values at different books, and that's what Odds Checker does. They have like 20 different books there that place odds on these things. So we're going to talk about the range that you can find some of these in.
Michael, I am a patron of cinema. Film Appreciation Podcast. Mike, Mike, and Oscar, I want these movies to look good. But I think that's, you know, our MO for most of the time. So yeah, you'll get better odds for some of these, you know, if you canvas all of Odds Checker. Now, so full disclosure.
So, but the bottom line here with these odds is that there is a heavy favorite in Roma.
Yeah.
A -300 favorite. If you go back, and we were fortunate enough to interview, like we said, Scott Feinberg from The Hollywood Reporter, mm-hmm. he seems to think that this category is wide open enough, save but 2 films in Bohemian Rhapsody, which I'm still seeing a lot of people, at least on film Twitter, predicting the apocalypse there. To actually take home the gold. And Vice seems to be, which is the longest shot anyway, according to these books.
I wanted better numbers for Black Klansman, The Favorite, and Black Panther, though, Mike. Because I wanted to pick one of them going into this.
So you didn't, is what you're saying, I guess.
I did not.
The value here, I would say, is in the probably the Black Klansman, Black Panther, The Favorite. I mean, that's where you're going, you know, -300, especially for something that is wide open and not a slam dunk. I don't know if you want to pay that vig for Roma, not to say you can't pick it.
What is a vig?
Well, that's the when you're paying to support The Favorite, and that's the one that wins. So it's not an underdog. You're investing in the favorite of the category, not the movie.
Uh-huh.
Yes, no, you understand?
No.
Okay, fair enough. So the only ones with the underdog bets here that at least we think have a chance of hitting, Green Book being second in the odds scares the hell out of me at +300. I really am not looking forward to that.
It makes some sense at the end of the day, because I do think the Producers Guild of America award meant a lot. I am picking Roma, Mike. I'm confident in that pick because of preferential balloting. What do you have?
I'm taking Black Panther.
Wow.
Yeah, I was hoping we would save Best
Can't
Picture.
Can't resist those
I was hoping
ads.
We were taking Best Picture for the... It's got nothing to do with the odds. I have faith in the Academy. I don't know if that should be trusted or misplaced, but I have faith in the Academy to do the right thing. They did win the Screen Actors Guild Ensemble. As you heard Feinberg tell us, the actors do make up probably the biggest percentage of the Academy. I do think there's this imperative there that people don't want. We're so close in so many ways to finally have this popular film break through.
Black Panther would make it a fun night. Feinberg recontextualized the argument a little differently. So go listen to that interview again. I was surprised to hear how he put it. And it gave Black Panther more hope. All right, let's move on. Best Director.
Yeah, God, I'm so nervous about that. I really would like Black Panther to win.
Yeah, me too.
not Green Book, please. All right, working our way through best director odds from Jimmy the Index Finger Vaganey here is the one that gave us these, I think. Alfonso Cuarón for Roma is a 1-20, so he's probably a minus 2,000 there, which means he's going to win. Spike Lee is 12-1, Yorgos Lanthimos and Paul Pawlikowski 33-1. Adam McKay is a little surprising, bringing up the rear at 40-1.
I am validated on this.
Yeah.
I'm validated for all my, you know, snark thrown against that film. But Mike, my pick is Alfonso Cuarón for Roma.
I don't know how it can't be. It's nice to see Spike Lee a second. Alfonso Cuarón's my pick as well. Again, what sticks out for me is Adam McKay being behind Pawlikowski there, and Yorgos and Pawlikowski being tied as well. Pawlikowski's doing a lot more legwork, according to Vegas, than I thought he would in this category,
right,
which is nice to see. This is, if you go back and listen to our takes on this category, this has kind of been a slam dunk for a long time. This is one of the two of the big eight on the night that are seem to be decided and well in hand.
Now, Yorgos has been campaigning for a while, and The Favorite has 10 nominations, so mm-hmm. it kind of worked. And it also has a VOD rollout for The
sure.
Favorite this week, which makes some good sense.
Yep.
And it was in theaters basically up to that moment. Pawlikowski, Cold War just hitting theaters, and Black Klansman's been on VOD for a while, but Black Klansman could have kind of, you know, an after effect with that campaign because it could win something else, and it should win something else at the end of the night, whether that's best screenplay, whether that's best editing, you know, so their campaign works. And even for future years, Spike Lee getting back in with the Academy and feeling better about that relationship, mending fences there.
Sure.
It makes sense long term. That being said, when you make this bet with Jimmy the Index Finger Vaganey, he's not going to give you a receipt if you bet on anybody.
As far as gambling, I would stay away from this category. There's just not, if it's not going to be Cuarón, you would think it's going to be Spike Lee. And we are big pundits here about a theory we pitch called the Oscars puzzle theory,
right?
Which is, if you know, the Academy will vote one way on one category because they want to spread the wealth out, and they don't want to give too many awards to one film or one person, but they can't have this person in this category because they of politics, so they're going to give it this category instead. What that all means is that
human nature. I mean, yeah, it makes sense.
You maybe they feel an impetus to reward Spike Lee, but like you said, I doubt it's going to be in this category.
We've been saying all along, Roma might not be so good. We like it. Yeah. We love it. And in some cases, it might not be so good that it deserves 6 or 7 Oscars. So the 3 that it's supposed to win might be enough in the minds of the Academy. However, this is one that it's supposed to win.
The Hollywood Reporter just came out with a brutally honest ballot for today from somebody from the director's arm of the Academy, calling Roma a glorified home video. So,
oh wow,
yeah,
oh,
and there's definitely people out there that seem to have detractions for
late breaking backlash gonna happen. We got an MMOW Sunday morning just in case we need some more. Anyway, Mike, best actor, Riley the Big Thumb McDougal. what was I supposed to say?
Yeah, I think you got it. The Green Thumb, I thought you said, but yeah.
We're staying
the
on
big the thumb. The big thumb. He hit it with a hammer when he was a child, and it just never healed.
We're staying on the fingers and toes, I guess, because I can't think of anything else. But bottom line is, best actor, Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody, is 1-4, minus 250.
Yeah.
Mike just corrected me. We did a big edit. Christian Bale is 4-1 from Vice. Bradley Cooper from A Star is Born, 16-1.
Little hope.
Viggo Mortensen from Green Book is 33-1.
And Willem Dafoe's happy to be here.
Willem Dafoe from Ad Eternity's Gate shouldn't have been nominated at 66-1.
So, okay, that's the main story, is that this category shakes itself out a little easier for you. There's value to be had, obviously, and you don't have to worry about Dafoe, so you're really looking at the top four here, because Dafoe winning would probably shut down the Academy Awards forever.
Now, you say there's value in the Christian Bale bet there, you think?
Yeah, +400. 4-1 odds isn't a bad job for a guy, one of the only people that's ever won 2 Critics' Choice Awards for the same performance as he did this year. He also won a Golden Globe for Best Actor, Comedy or Drama. He's got 2 of the 4 precursors. We talk all the time about how Best Actor is kind of one of those in all the acting categories. Of the 4 major precursor award shows, you got to win at least 2 of them to really substantiate your case.
Right. Unless you're a Best Supporting Actress candidate this year.
right. So, you know, he's not the favorite. Rami Malek is. Bohemian Rhapsody's gotta at some point fall to Earth, doesn't it, before all is said and done?
We thought it was going to fall to Earth before these nominations. I thought Rami Malek took a commanding lead after SAG and BAFTA. He's winning this one for me. Rami Malek, Bohemian Rhapsody.
I'm an idiot. I'm going to stay with Christian Bale. Don't sleep on Bradley Cooper, though.
Look, I'm sleeping on Bradley Cooper. Sleeping soundly.
And there's a reason. I understand that he didn't win any major precursors. I'm totally contradicting what I just said.
But all the press this week has been bad.
Right.
We talked to Feinberg about it.
Right. But there's got to be, like, people like him still. And there has been. The Ringer just came out with an article talking about why he's worthy of the Academy Award. We laid out the case in the Best Actor category overview. There's a path there for
him. Sean Penn likes him still. You like him always. You watch Black Eyes on YouTube all the time.
Or Black Eyes, yes.
Black Eyes, yes. On YouTube. And you like him more than most because he's come out and he's been like, you know, he's been a little cocky. He's been feeling himself a little bit.
He's not going to win.
He did a great job with A Star Is Born. He's not going
to
win.
Yeah, the best odds that the odds checker has him at is 16-1 anyway. The worst is 25-1. That's kind of... I don't know. 25. If you can get Bradley Cooper at 25-1, it might be worth putting a couple bucks down.
I keep having to pinch myself, though. As certain as I sound, this award season's been insane.
Yes.
So anything can happen.
Right.
So I don't want to poo-poo this. Bottom line is, angel on your shoulder, don't bet. Don't do this.
Is Vice going to actually leave 0 for whatever it's nominated, 0 for 6?
Screenplay category is wide open. Editing, it just won at the Guild. So it could come away with there. Amy Adams got a shot.
And maybe Bohemian Rhapsody. This will be its only shot. I'm sticking with Christian Bale. That's my pick. And that's I have faith. This award season has been so wide open. I'm just picking blindly things I want to see happen.
Yeah, Lady Bird walked away with nothing last year.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It does happen.
Good counter. All right, Mike. Best actress.
Samantha the Ear Rusev says Glenn Close from The Wife is 1-5.
Yes.
Olivia Colman, no E. I just learned how to spell her name, by the way.
Yeah.
Olivia Colman from The Favourite, 4-1.
Mm-hmm.
Lady Gaga, A Star Is Born, 14-1.
Yeah.
Yalitza Aparicio from Roma, 50-1. Melissa McCarthy from Can You Ever Forgive Me, 66-1.
So that's McCarthy being fifth and behind Aparicio is...
surprising,
very
right?
Surprising.
But neither of them have odds that you
probably
touch.
Not. We laid out the case as to Aparicio's. I think that's more believable of the two long shots there. If they decide this is the year of Roma and the Academy just wants to reward everything Roma to have a leave a good feeling in people's mouths about this award.
If Glenn Close loses to a preschool teacher turned actress, she will go.
That would be bad.
She will go Fatal Attraction on that stage.
There has been. I will say, a swell of support lately, at least from what I've seen online, for Olivia Colman and the imperative to reward The Favorite and make sure it leaves the stage with something. Again, it's going to be rough if it is 10 nominees. It's tied for the most nominations for any movie on the night with Roma. It doesn't look like a slam dunk to win anything, which could put it in jeopardy, and the most it'd be tied for the second worst shutout of all time, as movies have gone 0-11 and it would go 0-10. So
the SAGs choosing Glenn Close was a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Olivia Colman getting BAFTA on her home court, how big of a deal is that?
She needed to win it if she didn't win BAFTA, her 4-1 odds would probably be closer to Lady Gaga's 14-1.
Right. And Lady Gaga needed to win either of those.
Lady Gaga only winning the Critics' Choice precursor and a tie with Glenn Close. Glenn Close has been on a roll. It's her time, right? I mean, that's who I'm picking, Glenn Close.
I'm picking Glenn Close.
I don't really see a lot of value in this. You can talk yourself into Colman because it's the same value bet as Christian Bale. And she probably, that's an interesting question. Do you think Colman has a better chance to upset or Bale does? Out of the two 4-1 odds there for the categories.
That is a tough question. That means nothing. By the way, for the record.
Like, literally everything we say does.
This is what... No, but this is the gambler in you. When you ask a question like this, this is what I'm afraid of.
Yeah. Just answer.
All right, Olivia Colman. That's
really?
What I think.
All right. You hate Vice.
I do. I don't like it. I think Robbie's going to win. But, yeah, we're both thinking...
Lady Gaga is an interesting value bet. 14-1, it's an interesting value bet. There's decent money to be had there. It's really a 3-horse race, and it's probably a 2.5 horse race, to be honest.
Right. Best supporting actress, the weirdest one of the bunch.
Oh, God.
Ronald the Typewriter Hightower.
He's a British gangster now. British monster.
Regina King from If Beale Street Could Talk. She's the favorite at 2-5 odds.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams from Vice surprising 4-1. Rachel Weisz from The Favorite, 7-1.
Yep.
Emma Stone from The Favorite, 16-1.
Yeah.
And Marina de Tavira from Roma, 20-1.
Okay, so this is, I mean, the odds tell you everything you need to know about this category.
Wow. That
the longest long shot is only 20-1.
Right.
But we're just off a category where we have two nominees and best lead actress, where two of them are 50-1 or beyond.
Now, do you think that's dirty pool? Do you think they're trying to sucker you into bet to... you know, bet Emma Stone, bet Marina de Tavira with no, like, if they were in any other category, winning nothing this year.
No, I think genuinely
they have
Vegas has no idea who's going to win. That's wow. what I think. And we talk about, you know, this category has been the most volatile one in the whole precursor, right? Because Regina King's the favorite, yes. Regina King did win Critics' Choice. She won Golden Globe. But she wasn't even nominated at the SAGs, wasn't even nominated at the BAFTAs.
Mm-hmm.
The SAG Award ends up going to Emily Blunt, who beat out Rachel Weisz, Emma Stone, and Amy Adams, who are nominated in this category, didn't win the SAG Awards, and went to someone else completely. And then the BAFTA went to one of the actresses here who's in this category with another co-star from the same film in Emma Stone. It went
right.
The BAFTA went to Rachel Weisz, which means maybe there's some cannibalization amongst the Academy between picking those two. This category is really just like a radioactive bomb.
I am going to read into it this way. I am going to read into it that SAG's taking Emily Blunt was kind of a strange vote for Regina King. I'm going to say that, you know, people have finally started to watch If Beale Street Could Talk, and I think that performance stands on its merits. It's a good performance, and they can vote for it. I do think the Academy gets around to voting for Regina King at the end of the day. It'll be a close win, but I think it'll be a win.
I woke up this morning. This is dead serious. I woke up this morning convinced I was taking Marina de Tavira.
Wow.
Because I don't... I think there's too much uncertainty here. I think where you take the SAG thing as a
yeah.
good thing for Regina King, I can't wrap my head around the idea that a big arm of the Academy
mm-hmm.
that's in the SAG Awards, the actors that vote for the actors, didn't include her there. I think that means something. I can't take that as a positive.
It's probably the right way to take it. However, I mean, you're right. The tea leaves are saying If Beale Street Could Talk lost the WGA Best
right.
Adapted Screenplay, that she wasn't nominated either at SAGs or BAFTAs, two crossover groups. There's no evidence for Amy Adams. Rachel Weisz won on her home court, already won. Emma Stone already won. Marina de Tavira happy to be there in a way. And I think they're trying to sucker you in to bet that 20-1. Because I don't think she's got a chance.
She
doesn't have any resume.
She doesn't.
For the awards.
Boy, it would be an upset. It would be so proper for this award season, though. I'm going... I wanted to take Marina de Tavira. I don't have the stones. I'm going to back off. Scott Feinberg, again, laid out the case that Amy Adams may be the only one left over. It's going to be tough for me to swallow that she's going to leave the stage as a six-time nominee and win. But I also don't think Weisz is going to win two acting categories, so I'm going to take Rachel Weisz.
Wow. Regina King, If Beale Street Could Talk for me, still. Best Supporting Actor, we got Tommy the Table Richardson saying Mahershala Ali from Green Book.
Yeah, this one should be over.
1-16.
Surprised it's not higher, to be honest.
Yeah. Richard E. Grant, Can You Ever Forgive Me is probably the reason, 8-1.
Probably is the reason.
He's well-liked.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Elliott, A Star is Born, 14-1. Adam Driver, Black Klansman, 30-1. Sam Rockwell from Vice, 50-1.
I forgot Sam Rockwell was nominated in this category.
Honestly, you know, me too. I've done that multiple times this award season. And I figured someone else was in there.
Looking at value, again, Mahershala should be higher, I would think. 1-16 is... He's going to win, I would think.
All four.
Yeah, I'm surprised the odds, especially Sam Elliott's only 14-1. That's the same odds as Lady Gaga for lead actress. I'm surprised those odds aren't more obnoxious, and that kind of is a red flag for me, because usually when something doesn't make sense in a line in Vegas, in my history of dealing with such things,
yeah,
usually means Vegas knows something or is in on something, and I don't like how that looks, but I'm not going to be dissuaded from taking Mahershala.
Can You Ever Forgive Me just won the adapted screenplay at the Writers Guild. So I wonder if people are respecting it more. I wonder if them just putting out the VOD release, the DVD release, they didn't even go Blu-ray, as I was just filled in by Next Best Picture and our friends over there. So it's very strange that without any fanfare. Now, the reason I get this is because once a movie loses money, like, why not just release it on video during its active push?
Sure.
Like, it's, the marketing does itself.
Right.
The Oscars do all the marketing for the movie for them. Mm-hmm. So they don't have to put any money into it, and it probably gets more clicks on VOD than it ever would if you actually did a campaign after the Oscars when nobody, you know, cares as much, you know, to release the video.
Sure.
So I'm not reading too much into it, but there's a couple of birdies on our shoulders there from Tommy the Table that worry me as well.
Yeah, and Richard E. Grant's odds are suspiciously low for someone that hasn't really won anything major.
Anything, yeah. Except for Critics Association.
He won Critics Circles Awards for Supporting Actor, and this is kind of, historically, the supporting categories especially, once one person sweeps the precursors, the major precursors anyway, the four major ones in the Globes, BAFTAs, SAGs, and Critics' Choice, it's over.
It's over.
I mean, and we saw it last year with Allison Janney. We saw it last year with Sam Rockwell and Three Billboards.
Yeah.
A little concerning, but I'm still sticking with Mahershala.
Me too. Mahershala Ali from Green Book. Best Adapted Screenplay.
Another this is another category crazy that makes one. No goddamn sense.
Willie the Bat Rigatoni says Black Klansman
is a hell of a pasta.
I'm Italian and Irish, so I'm trying to stick to my ethnicity's there self parody. Black Klansman is 2-7. If Beale Street Could Talk is 4-1. Can You Ever Forgive Me is 9-2. So just worse.
Plus 450, yeah.
Yeah. A Star is Born is 14-1. And The Ballad of Buster Scruggs is a crazy 40-1 here. Because I do think that one could play on the Academy. And I think it's a great screenplay.
I'm not a crazy person. I just happen to like all the longest of long shots this year.
Oh my God.
I'm going Oscar puzzle. I do think Black Klansman wins.
Me too.
I think there's this imperative that we need to reward Spike Lee.
Black
we
Klansman.
Can't have him nominated for all these things and not let him leave the stage. Although, look, the history, the momentum certainly on Can You Ever Forgive Me side. They just won the WGA for Adapted Screenplay Awards. And we talked about in our category overview of the episode, there's a huge correlation between the WGA Adapted Screenplay Award and getting the Oscar pick right. I mean, they've done it something like 13 of the last 18 years. They've gone on in 3 of the last 4, I think, overall. So there is that to worry about. A Star is Born, I don't know. These books just gave Eric Star is Born 14-1 across the board, it seems like.
Yeah.
I don't think they know what to do with it, but I don't think it's a serious threat. It hasn't really won anything for screenplay, certainly not recently. So I think this category has been historically between Black Klansman and Beale Street. Beale mm-hmm. Street's kind of fallen off significantly. You're looking for who the second best one is. This is a typical category where I would love to see the voting breakdown afterwards.
Because yeah.
I am convinced Buster Scruggs is going to finish in the top 2.
Agreed. I think Buster Scruggs is a dark horse here.
Yeah, but I'm going with Black Klansman. That's my official pick, and it says yours as well, I guess.
Best Original Screenplay, and again, we just released that screenplay category overview pod where we covered both these. Fishy the Net Bobby Soxer says...
You're just saying words now.
Says The Favorite is 1-2.
Yeah, we'll see about that.
Green Book is 9-4. Roma is 7-1. First Reformed is 12-1. Vice is 33-1. The Bobby Soxer likes The Favorite.
Yeah. So all this means is
myself.
Yeah. I don't know what you're doing. All this means is that Vice isn't going to win. And this is another category that's wide open. And why is it wide open? Well, the biggest precursor, the WGA Award for Best Original Screenplay, went to none of these films. Went to Eighth Grade from Bo Burnham,
Craziness.
Which isn't nominated, which should have been nominated, and probably if it was nominated right now, would win.
Right. I mean, First Reformed, Critics' Choice, Green Book, Golden Globe, those have some precursor value to them, but their value from the critics. Now, I made the Regina King pick earlier. Shouldn't I pick one of those here? I'm not going to do it. I'm going to pick The Favorite because I think it's the best screenplay. I think the Academy at the end of the day is just going to say that's the best one.
I've hyped, gambling aside, I've psyched myself out of The Favorite because you and I keep picking the fucking thing.
Right.
And it keeps never winning any awards. It's won the BAFTA, but it is a British film and it needed to win the BAFTA to be taken seriously. I'm surprised its odds are this high. 1-2 is kind of a big deal. I'm not picking Green Book. I think Green Book might win. I'm going to pick The Favorite again, reluctantly.
Yeah.
I want to pick First Reformed. I just want to pick everything that has astronomical odds, and then I'll be 0-24, and nobody will listen to us ever again.
Best animated feature,
Mike. Yes, baby!
God damn it. Timmy the Tooth.
Mike the One.
Barrington.
He's given these odds.
Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is 1-20.
Don't care.
1-20.
Don't care. That could be 1,000.
And then, Michael, Isle of Dogs is 12-1.
Yeah, enjoy it. You're all fools.
Incredibles 2 is 21.
You're a bunch of sheep.
Ralph Breaks the Internet is 40-1. Mirai is 40-1. I am picking Spider-Verse, and I am doing it with a clear conscience laying back in my chair.
You're a
right
lemming.
Now.
You're a goddamn lemming. All right, so why are we joking so much about this? I have been pitching a conspiracy theory tied into money and CEOs and a museum for months now related to this category.
Yeah.
If you follow the precursor season at all, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse has won pretty much every single award
sweep
in terms of animated feature. And yet, I do not care because I am so convinced, especially now after we're going to present all 24s and we're going to go beyond 3 hours, the Academy needs to make amends to Disney somehow.
Oh my God.
And Disney cannot leave the stage having no awards to show for this season.
Do your job, Pricewaterhouse. Do your job.
Well, they'll
sirs.
Do their job when they're being slipped all kinds of Donald Duck bucks.
Oh, God.
All right? I'm picking Incredibles too. And I, what did you say the odds for those are now?
20-1.
20-1. I'm not even sure. Like, that's great value too. If you're going to take a long shot at 20-1 or longer, I think your safest of the long shots might be Incredibles 2 anyway.
You scare me.
Either that or probably Marina de Tavera as far as longest of long shots, just because that category is so volatile. Right. So if you're looking for a crazy long shot that's going to pay out, then again, you're talking to the guy that just took Black Panther to win Best Picture, 25-1. So who knows? But Incredibles 2, I'm taking it. I will laugh when it happens. I can be seen as the fool if it doesn't. That's fine. This is a good time to remind you that I went 21-24 last year and Mike went 20-24. That's not going to happen again. So I just want to get that on the record.
Speaking of Nobody Knows, Best Documentary Feature, Fred the Mr. Rogers has the odds. Free Solo is 4-6.
I hope somebody started listening to this pod halfway through and has no idea what these names are supposed to mean.
They're so ridiculous.
Yes.
RBG is 5-4. So that was Free Solo 4-6, RBG 5-4.
You're talking like a -133 compared to a +125. That means it's a coin flip, basically.
Minding the Gap is 14-1.
Yep.
Hail County this morning, this evening is 40-1.
Mm-hmm.
Of Fathers and Sons is 66-1.
Happy to be here. Hail, this category has been weird. Also one that's kind of under a lot of scrutiny. Yeah. We had three documentaries come out, if you haven't been keeping up with the race. Three documentaries came out this year to all sorts of critical acclaim. You could even count four if you want to include They Will Not Grow Old, which just came out but didn't make the field either.
We've had popular documentaries this year.
Sure.
And we've also had, like you said, ones that took home all the hardware.
Mm-hmm. Three Identical Strangers, Free Solo, and Won't You Be My Neighbor, which is the Mr. Rogers documentary.
Yeah.
Everybody thought that those three would certainly at least be nominated. And there were different times where they were had their moment in the sun as like the greatest documentary of all time in the zeitgeist.
Yeah.
It was a shock when Won't You Be My Neighbor didn't make the BAFTA field, but it was understandable because, again, it's a British award show. Maybe they don't know Mr. Rogers that well. It was pretty much inconceivable that it doesn't make the field here, especially taken in concert with the fact that Jane, which mm-hmm. was the documentary feature last year that won all the precursors, was supposed to make the field and win the Oscar last year. It, again, didn't get nominated. So of the three big documentaries that came out this year, only Free Solo made the cut, and it is the betting favorite. It's not my pick. Is it yours, Michael?
Yes, it is my pick.
It's because you are a smart man that is responsible with money.
Here's the thing. Here's how it's working this episode. Like, a lot of the movies that I've come and really been pitching for a while as favorites and categories, making the strongest argument for,
right,
they're being lauded as the favorite. Now, does that mean that I am right all along and I'm a genius? Maybe. But it more likely means... It more likely means that I'm learning to read the award season a little better, or like everybody else.
Yeah, could be. Yeah, you're doing the responsible thing. Right? You're betting the favorites are the favorites for a reason, and I am just a lunatic.
Look, I'm not putting a single cent, a single solitary cent on this, because I don't trust the names at the beginning of each of these segments. I'm not doing it. So this means nothing that I'm picking the favorites, but I am picking Free Solo here. It's a great one.
I'm picking RBG.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it because I don't think the Academy will fully embrace the idea of Vice, but I think there is a difference between voting for a political propaganda piece and voting for, even though it is a propaganda piece, something that celebrates a liberal hero.
Icon.
Yeah,
for sure. And who's been in the news?
Right. And so I think RBG makes the most sense, at least from a narrative standpoint, there. And again, it makes sense because this category has been blown to hell anyway with the inclusion. What's the opposite of inclusion? Disclusion? Exclusion. Exclusion.
Exclusion.
Money, I do. The words, not so much. Exclusion of the other two documentaries that were at the top of the food chain here anyway.
Best foreign film, Mike.
This is another one that's done.
Fig the water bottle, Smith.
How do you not go with Newton?
Says Roma is 1 to 16.
I love these odds after Roma. Go ahead.
Cold War is 10 to 1.
Uh-huh.
Shoplifters is 20 to 1.
Uh-huh.
Capernaum is 40 to 1. Yeah. Never Look Away is 50 to 1.
The only reason Capernaum is 40 to 1 and not 30 to 1 is because they didn't want to make it so obvious that they were just adding 10 to each odd afterwards. Roma's going to win this category.
Roma's going to win this category.
And that's why Roma is a Best Picture bet. I know Mike took it, but that's be wary if you're going to put money on Roma for Best Picture, because it is most likely definitely walking away with Best Foreign Film, Best Director, probably at least one or two other undercard ones.
Probably.
So, you know, is the Academy going to give it every award, or like they do, are they going to spread the wealth around and cause an upset? We'll see.
Now, Roma is a district in Mexico City. Do you think degenerate gamblers will take Cold War because it won all the European awards? Do you think they are degenerate enough to understand that the European Film Awards picked Cold War, but that Roma... It was made in Mexico.
I think there's a case. I know you're asking in jest, but I think there is absolutely value in Cold War at 10 to 1. Yeah. I mean, if you want to look somewhere in this category to make a little money, if anything's going to win, it's going to be Cold War, right? Because it's probably the second best foreign film of the year, and it's the one that has won a lot of awards. So,
Mike, I am Ned Flanders right now, looking across the street or next door at the Simpsons house. That's what I'm doing. That's how I feel right now. Best cinematography. Ned Flanders says Roma 1 to 18, Cold War 9 to 1. A Star is Born 12 to 1. The Favorite 16 to 1. Never Look Away is 33 to 1.
Never Look Away was another foreign film. Three foreign films in this category, by the way. So step it up, American filmmakers. Never Look Away was a surprise here. It's kind of the happy to be nominated. It's the longest odds, 33 to 1. Roma, this is another one. We just talked about the same narrative, but this is another one that seems to be lock stock. I'm picking Roma for this.
Me too. Roma is 1 to 18. Those are good odds.
Yeah, and if you're just a layperson, you've seen Roma on Netflix and you're not really familiar with it, it's Alfonso Cuarón. It's his passion project. It's the story of his upbringing, but he was the director, the editor, the director of photography. He wrote the thing. This is why that narrative of making this the year of Roma, or maybe being hesitant about being the year of Roma, makes a little sense, because basically you aren't rewarding the film Roma as much as you are just giving Alfonso Cuarón every Oscar.
Look, if you had not, heard of Roma before going into this episode, to jump on what something you said earlier, bet on the weather. Bet on anything but this. Please. We're begging you. Best film editing.
Mike is begging you. I want you to follow me to the promised land.
Johnny the Burger Rockets says...
It just means Mike's getting hungry. Vice, I know what that means.
Vice is 5-6. Black Klansman is 19-10. Almost 2-1.
It's a ridiculous number. 2-1, yeah.
The Favorite is 2-1. Bohemian Rhapsody is 4-1. Green Book is 25-1. This is supposedly a category that nobody knows who to pick.
Yeah, there's a reason all these odds are so indistinguishable, basically. The American Cinema Editor Awards gave Best Edited Feature Film Drama to Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's a guild.
They gave Best Edited Feature Film Comedy or Musical to Yorgos Mavroiditis of The Favorite.
That's also the guild.
The BAFTA for Best Editing went to Vice.
Over there in Great Britain.
And the Critics' Choice went to First Man, which isn't nominated, but did beat out The Favorite, Roma, A Star Is Born, Vice, and Widows.
That's us, but better people than us.
So, this category means nothing. All of this means nothing. This is basically supporting actors all over again. There's glaring holes and big reasons to pick everything or against everything.
That being said, there are Academy members in the guilds, and there are Academy members in the British Academy.
Mm-hmm.
So those are probably the two winners to pay attention to, but because the guild picks two winners in their own right, The Favorite, Bohemian Rhapsody, and Vice, it's bizarre. Like, who's going to win?
And this is where the personal Oscar puzzle theory comes into play, too, because do I pick against Bohemian Rhapsody and say it's going to win absolutely nothing when it's done nothing but win at all these precursors just because I have that much personal disdain for it? Do I go back to picking Vice? Does Spike Lee not win anything earlier in the night so they give Black Klansman the editing award here? Oh, God, this is a tough one to pick.
Tough, so tough. I'm going to change my pick from what I wrote down.
Okay.
I'm picking Bohemian Rhapsody.
God damn you. Oh, I was thinking about doing it myself.
You just do it.
Now I'm taking Vice, man. I'll take The Favorite. I know it's not a heavy favorite, but I'm gonna stick with Vice and think that Vice's best jokes, to me at least, were set up by the editing.
Yeah.
There's a strong case to make for Bohemian Rhapsody to have rights to this award. That third act is superb.
And Black Klansman, for that matter. Yeah. That dueling rally sequence, Birth of a Nation sequence.
Which, of course, incredible. Means Green Book will walk away with Best Editing, since none of us have talked about it.
But that's what I wrote down. I wrote down Black Klansman. I'm changing it last second just because of a gut feel, and my gut has shit for brains, just like John Cusack says.
Your gut has brains?
But I have a gut feel. Black Klansman's going to lose, and Bohemian Rhapsody is going
to
win.
Could be anything. I'd like to vote for First Man in a write-in. Best production design, Mike.
So Fonzie Double Meatball Fellini says The Favorite at 2-5.
You're excluding all of our Italian heritage.
Black Panther is 5-2. Roma is 9-1. Mary Poppins Returns is 20-1. And First Man is 25-1.
This one's kind of been between The Favorite and Black Panther. You would think that Best Costume Design and Best Production Design, those two have been going back and forth at both of them. We kind of agree that we think it's going to be a split.
I do think it's going to be a split, and therefore I think Black Panther is winning here because I think The Favorite is more of a stranglehold on costume design.
I think the opposite. I think there was more history and it's more interesting story about Black Panther's costume design. And I think The Favorite had a more historically pleasing for the Academy
now,
to look at.
If we were smart, damage control wise, you would pick The Favorite both
right,
categories.
Exactly.
I would pick Black Panther both categories. We're not smart. So I'm not hedging at all.
We pride ourselves on not being a prediction podcast. And it's for this, we were all big chested last year. Like, man, we only got 3 and 4 wrong. We're awesome. We could do this. And then this season came along and literally slapped us in the mouth.
We picked the Best Picture nominations perfectly.
8-for-8.
We picked them correctly.
It's a highlight.
I nailed a bunch of other categories.
Yeah.
Not for the record.
Yeah,
I re-looked through my things and I nailed a bunch of categories. I have no confidence right now.
You can't. So, I don't know if any pundit is out there saying confidently, and I say it in jest, but if anyone is serious about I know what's going to happen, do not listen to them.
Don't listen
you
to
them. You can't. You cannot know what's happening this year specifically.
Best costume design.
We kind of just gave away our picks, but go ahead, walk through the odds.
The Favorites 1-3, Black Panthers 9-4, Mary Queen of Scots 25-1, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs is 25-1 as well. Mary Poppins Returns 33-1.
Does it bother you that Mary Poppins Returns is that low?
It makes sense. I mean, it's just a movie that's not on anybody's radar now.
You love Mary Poppins.
You think that I love Mary Poppins. That's the problem. You did not like Mary Poppins.
No, I wasn't crazy about it.
And you think I have to love it, but I gave it a freaking B. I thought it was better than my worst fears.
B for better than my worst fears.
I liked it. I liked it.
It's
charming.
It's a good kids movie. I enjoyed
my time at the movies. I took my mother to see it.
Yeah, that's nice.
It was fine.
We each took
What do you want to turn me into?
I want the truth.
You just want it. My mother's just basically clapping the whole movie. Like, almost clapping. That's her. The whole movie. And you expect me to turn to, like, you at the movie theater to just, like, talk shit about the Mary Poppins Returns? Mike, she returned after 50-something years, and it was delightful.
Should have stayed away. I'm picking Black Panther for best costume design, and we just talked about the reasons why. Look, if you are desperate enough to look for value picks and wanting to bet on the value picks of best costume design, I'll go with you. Yeah, here's some value. Mary Queen of Scots is kind of surprising because of the costumes involved in that. 25-1 is pretty good odds. It's great odds, actually. I don't think it has a shot at winning, but if you're looking for a value in this category, I think that's where I would put my money.
Good costumes in all five of these movies, so it's tough. I'm picking the favorite. Because of what I've said before, I figured the dresses are the stitching, and I should have hedged my bet and picked Black Panther twice.
It is interesting, though, that the odds don't switch. Like, I think conventional wisdom is that Black Panther and the favorite will split production design and costume design, but the odds say the favorite is the favorite in both categories.
So do you think Vegas is hedging?
That's right. I wonder. I wonder about that. That's the narrative I'm going with. I wonder if they say, well, we're going to win money on one of these categories. Probably. So we'll see.
Wow. Best makeup and hairstyling. Nobody's setting these odds anymore. I've kicked that dead horse. It's done. It's over. I don't want to talk about it. Vice is 1 for 10.
Ronald the McDonald.
Mary Queen of Scots is 7-1. Border is 12-1.
This should be Vice in a runaway, I think. 1-10 kind of tells you that. Mary Queen of Scots wouldn't shock me. Border did have great makeup.
It did.
But this, I mean, Christian Bale was Dick Cheney for this movie.
Right. I'm picking Vice as well. I don't think it's going to be close. And I think if they gave us the numbers, we would know that. But why would I say something like that? Because it means nothing. Good commentary by me. Best original score, If Beale Street Could Talk, is 8-13. Black Panther.
Gotta love these internet odds.
Black Panther is 9-4. Mary Poppins Returns is 6-1.
You're so happy about that, aren't you?
Black Klansman is 14-1. Isle of Dogs is 25-1. Something's playing in my brain. I'm not going to tell you which.
So I don't know what to do with this category, and we're big fans of the original score. We talk about it in every Oscar sprint profile that we do. It's such a big part of the production value of every movie. Justin Hurwitz in First Man, he won the Golden Globe, won a couple other big precursors. Everyone thought it would at least be nominated. That's the one we thought, at least we're such big fans of First Man, How You Doing, John, that we thought that it would at least be nominated here and have one award. Obviously it doesn't make the cut, and that kind of threw this category into disarray for me. I could be talked into any one of these, honestly, including Isle of Dogs at 25-1.
I'm going to take the most popular movie with the most nominations. Black Panther, 9-4.
It's probably very smart. I'm going to take Beale Street only because I'm not picking Regina King, basically. And I don't think it's going to leave empty-handed. I think it wins something. So that's the favorite there, and that's what I'll rationalize it.
Makes some sense.
Yeah, I like Isle of Dogs at 25. The longest shots are the ones I like. So that just proves how screwed up I am this year. Go ahead, Mike.
And the Oscar goes to Shallow, A Star Is Born, for Best Original Song, right? Yeah. I mean, it's 1-20. Those are odds that says it's going to win.
Yes.
All the stars from Black Panther's 8-1. The Place Where Lost Things Goes, trying to mount a campaign with Bette Midler singing the song, mm-hmm, from Mary Poppins Returns, is 20-1. I'll Fight, Jennifer Hudson, RBG,
it's a great song,
20-1. When a Cowboy Trades His Spurs for Wings, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, is 33-1. We've been saying it all year. We bet our lives on Shallow from A Star Is Born.
Yeah, Shallow has proper odds that I thought Mahershala Ali would share, but 1-20 is kind of indicative there. It's going to be a slam dunk. Everyone thinks it's going to win in a runaway. It should win in a runaway. Probably one of the best original songs of all time. The indicator for this for me is what happened at the Grammys, because it was face-to-face or head-to-head, however you want to define it, with all the stars from Black Panther in a couple categories, and Shallow just kept winning.
Yeah.
So if the music industry professionals think that it's going to win, and this is kind of their chance to at least give Bradley Cooper an award in a weird way. He's going to win an Oscar finally, but it's going to be Best Original Song. Yeah. And Lady Gaga is going to win an Oscar that she probably should have won 2 years ago for Best Original Song and didn't. Everything points to this being a slam dunk. I would not even look for value in this category. Just Shallow's winning.
Best Sound Editing. This is the creation of sounds, I think. First Man, 4-6. A Quiet Place, 5-2. Bohemian Rhapsody, 9-2. Black Panther, 10-1. And Roma, 25-1. I'm picking Bohemian Rhapsody. Because I'm about to hedge. Because I'm picking Bohemian Rhapsody for both. I just want to go 1-2.
I really want to pick First Man.
I just don't want to get shut out 0-2 here.
This is good radio, isn't it? The creation of sound, I'll pick A Quiet Place for sound editing. It's kind of been surprisingly nominated along the way in a lot of big precursors.
Right.
Bohemian Rhapsody makes a ton of sense. First Man's gotten no momentum to win anything. Now, we saw this problem last year with some of the more, I don't know if you want to call them obscure awards, but certainly lower on the card, undercard awards. There's evidence that the Academy at times doesn't do their homework with some of these things and just will vote chalk. And the biggest indicator, I keep joking about it, but until I am proven otherwise, I'm sure this is true, that last year Best Documentary Short went to a documentary short called Heaven is a Traffic Jam on the 405. And my whole thought was, well, obviously they're going to vote for that. And I picked them to the Academy to vote for that because the 405 is something they know, as it's a freeway in California. And that's, it won. And it wasn't, it was like the third highest odds in the category at the time.
Right. Kobe Bryant's basketball short was a another nice one, short. Yep. It was a nice short. There's no way it was better than the other four nominees.
So there's a logic to just saying you should be comfortable in voting the favorites lower on the card anyway. Kind of like voting a more obscure conference game, you know, that maybe the odds makers aren't as familiar with. Something in the MAC.
Familiar.
The MAAC.
Why would you do that?
I'm a big Canisius fan this
year. No, you're not.
So I think
so picking, terrifying.
If you're going to pick a long shot, do it higher up on the card. I'll go with A Quiet Place here, even though it's not the surefire hit just because it was so loved by critics.
I'm going Bohemian Rhapsody because I am crazy, and this is funny money to me. Best Sound Mixing, A Star is Born, 8-11. Bohemian Rhapsody, 11-10. First Man is 8-1. Black Panther is 20-1. Roma is 33-1. Again, I am picking Bohemian Rhapsody. I'm basing it on The Guild.
Yeah, that probably makes sense. I'll go with you. Bohemian Rhapsody. So I have Black Panther, for the record, winning Best Picture and nothing else.
Best Visual Effects. Avengers Infinity War is 2-9. First Man is 10-3. Ready Player One is 8-1. Christopher Robin is 20-1. Solo, A Star Wars Story is 40-1. Mike, I am vindicated here. Avengers being a favorite. Avengers Infinity War, I'm making that pick as well.
So the only thing that worries me about that is, like we brought this up on previous pods, is that the winner of this category tends to be the one that leans more on the practical effects, and they use the computer graphics to kind of just fill in the blanks. That's usually how it's been historically. That said, I think Infinity War was just such a, pardon the pun, but a marvel to look at from a visual effects standpoint. I would love to pick First Man again, just because I am that high. I know there's going to be a lot of people that pick Ready Player One. I just think it's a nice story to get an MCU movie definitely winning something.
Right, and I don't pardon your pun.
Then
I,
fair enough.
I don't.
You shouldn't. It was bad.
I think Infinity War is going to win it here.
There's a lot of other words that mean Marvel that I could have used, but I didn't.
Best Animated Short Film.
Wonder.
Bao is 1-6.
Amazement.
Weekends is 7-2. One Small Step is 12-1.
I guess I'm saying there's only two I could have thought of.
Late Afternoon is 16-1. Animal Behavior is 20-1. These all made us cry. These all were very well done.
Lest you think we're not an actual Oscars pod, we actually do have insight into the Best Animated Short. We reviewed them all this past MMO Weekly, as we're giving you a new Mike and Oscar episode every day this week for Oscar Week. Bao is the favorite because everyone saw it, because everyone saw Incredibles 2.
Weekends was so creative. I want to pick Weekends here. I'm still going to pick Bao.
I'm the same way, because I just don't think there's any reason to assume the Academy watched anything else.
But it is readily available. Like, we didn't go to the movies. We watched this online.
Sure.
It's easily watchable on YouTube. We'll go right there, right now. I mean, they obviously know it's out there.
God, Weekends was great. And don't watch Late Afternoon. It's so sad.
Oh, best documentary short film. Black Sheep is 8-11. Period. End of sentence is 7-4. Endgame is 11-2. Lifeboat is 11-1. A Night at the Garden is 25-1. I could see Black Sheep winning here because of its merits, because that really threw me for a loop. I'm picking Period. End of sentence.
I am too.
It's on Netflix, even though Amazon has Black Sheep.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be a battle there between the two of them. But notice, the three that are available on major streaming services are the top three.
Absolutely.
Amazon, Netflix,
See, look at you. You're talking like a tried and true gambler right now. No. Working some facts into there and some evidence to convince yourself one way. I'm the same way, and not only is it readily available, which I think helps its cause, but also, again, if the Academy takes these seriously and does look into the merits or at least the subject matter of each of these films,
right. There
is nothing more of the moment, I think, in this category than Period. End of sentence.
If the undercard goes chalk and the major categories do not, I am so screwed. I'm going to be like, 5-24.
Yeah, this is good. This could be bad. This could be very, very bad for us.
We watched all the documentary shorts as well. We have not watched all of the live action short films yet. I did catch Marguerite the other day. Marguerite is 10-11. Skin is 7-4. Detainment is 7-2. Fav is 7-1. Mother is 25-1. I'm going with what I've read on Detainment, and I'm again picking an undercard, which is stupid, but last year...
An underdog.
Underdog.
For the undercard.
For the undercard.
There you go.
Won this category, and last year I did see all the live-action shorts, and I should have went with my gut because I thought it was the best-made one of the group, but I picked something that everybody was saying and talking about to win. I'm going with the definition of insanity here, and I'm insane because I'm picking Detainment.
I'm going to pick Fav, because it sounds like Brett Favre. it's the only one of this category
it.
I did see.
I liked it.
It does tell an interesting story, and it does speak to the inner child, the fears we were sold as kids, fears what we were sold when we were children. I thought it was going to be a bigger problem as we went through life. But
Detainment had like a 2-hour video attached to it about a true crime story that was involved.
Oh.
In there.
Interesting.
And I think people might want to go down that rabbit hole. I don't know.
Look, you're shooting in the dark right now with these categories. Honestly, there's no reason to
expect... But this ain't laser tag, bro.
There's no reason to expect the Academy to lean one way or the other with these this year, because there's no Kobe Bryant out there to be had. The closest analogy you can have is voting for RBG if Ruth Bader Ginsburg shows up.
Mike, I am shaken to my core right now. I have zero confidence...
There is a legitimate chance we both went 0-24. I mean, it's out there.
I am the end of American Psycho right now.
If they start with Best Director and it goes to anyone but Cuarón, and then you see the presenter just putting his thumb on his nose and wiggling his fingers at everyone at home.
They're starting with Best Director?
No, I'm saying if they do.
No, they're
just
not.
To like set the tone of the night.
That's later on. It's one of the big, push where they rush all the big awards, right?
What's a lock this year? Cinematography, director, supporting actor, original song. Foreign film you could add in there too. Anything else?
The makeup and hairstyling and Vice.
Sure.
And then by the odds, Mike, Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse for animated feature.
You dumb fool. No, you're right. Prohibitively, in speaking about the odds.
You gave eight probables.
Right.
Most likely.
So we're saying, 16 categories? Two-thirds of the show is up in the air right now.
Wow.
And of those two-thirds, six of them are major awards. That's a big deal. And that proves that this is a weird year. So if you're talking from a prediction standpoint, anyone that goes, I would say, 2 out of 3. If you get 16 of these right, you're doing well. If you get 20 right, you should be applauded as a god.
Here's the question. Do you have to get 20 right to make money?
Well, from the gambling aspect, that's where I was going next. There's money to be made here because there's going to be upsets across the board. I mean, I'm going to kick myself if Marina de Tavera wins and I didn't pick her. Because I really spoke up. There's going to be one long shot that everyone's blindsided by, you would think. I don't think
Buster
this is
Scruggs?
The type of year... It could be Buster Scruggs, which I had as my favorite adapted screenplay of the year anyway, and I would put it number one. You're making me question everything right now, by the way.
You're an attorney. Can I create reasonable doubt enough that you will stay away from Joey Rigatoni.
I may have to change every pick I just made.
We have Sunday to do
re-record
it.
Re-record this whole thing all over again.
I don't think we want to put it at the beginning of the Cold War, whatever we're doing as a movie review for that. But I think at the beginning of the MMOW Sunday morning, maybe that'll work for me.
Yeah, so just to give you a little preview about what's coming up for the rest of the week, this is your fourth day in a row of Oscar Week. This is your fourth new episode. We are doing a new episode every day of Oscar Week. We started with MMO Weekly on Monday, which is where we reviewed a lot of the guilds and the finishing up of the guilds that happened over the past weekend, yep, as well as setting the table for what you can expect for Oscar Week and other stuff going on in the industry this week. Tuesday, we released our interview with Scott Feinberg of The Hollywood Reporter. If you don't know who he is like the insider of all insiders out there in Hollywood.
You didn't listen to this show if you don't know who he is, because we've been referencing it 1,000 times. You just think he's our buddy.
Yeah, no, he's amazing. He's one of our inspirations, yeah, Hollywood and a personal Reporter. Hero. Really gave us a lot of fascinating insight about how some looks at the races there. Wednesday, what did we drop Wednesday, Mike?
Best Original and Adapted Screenplay category, yes, overviews. That is the ninth of that series. We did director, animated feature, original song, picture, and the four acting categories as well.
Yes, and then Thursday, obviously, you have this coming out and looking forward to, and we thank you for listening and giving us a chance. And if you feel like sticking around, we would say thank you, and actually, our biggest show of the year will be coming out tomorrow. The Mike and Oscars, as we call them, because we're super creative, but that's our own personal award show, right, Mike?
We reconfigured our whole schedule for the weekend because we want to get the Mike and Oscars out sooner than later. That means you need to send us your category reviews. I only lied a little bit earlier. Yeah. You need to send us your categories whenever you listen to this in the afternoon, because we are recording the Mike and Oscars Thursday night.
To come out on Friday.
Come out on Friday. So if we don't see them, we'll be like preparing last minute because we always procrastinate.
And if this is your first experience listening to us, don't take it so seriously. We are not those types of people. If we haven't proved that in the past hour to you, we want just your most creative Oscar categories. You could include nominees or not.
Now, I guess we could do an overflow to the MMOWs.
Sure, there's always
Sunday.
Yeah.
All right. So if you get one that makes us laugh hard.
Yeah, and it's not in time, we'll still highlight it. But we're looking for your most creative input. Ask us serious, silly, respectable, whatever questions that you want to hear from us on our takes on film year 2018. Mike and Oscars are also where you're going to hear our personal best picture categories, as well as who we think is the rightful winners of every Oscars category, which I just learned about. It's terrifying, but we'll get it done. And we're going to answer your categories that you have. So we're looking forward to those. That'll be out for you to listen on Friday. Saturday, we have nothing like waiting until the last second, but our final review of a film for 2018, film year 2018, or at least award season 2018, in Cold War. That'll be done in our Oscar Sprint profile fashion, but we're going to have a little bit of a twist on it because time is of the essence.
Right. Sunday morning, we think, ish, afternoon, we'll be releasing our review of the Indie Spirits. Mm-hmm. That happened on Saturday night. We'll have 6 degrees of MMO. We'll have any late breaking Oscar news that's, you know, late breaking as of Saturday, late breaking. Right. And we'll do our thing with MMO Weekly, which is always fun. And we got a bunch of segments for that, trailer thoughts, all kinds of stuff. Box office, we can comment on Fridays.
Sure.
Box office.
A little variety show.
Have
there.
Some fun. Yeah.
And then, of course, Sunday's the big awards show. And we will be staying up late Sunday night. And we will have early Monday morning. We will have for you our overview of what happened, all the twists, turns, and awards given out on Oscars and the Academy Awards night. We'll be staying up late to record that, edit it, get it out for your Monday morning commute. That'll be out for you Monday morning, and Tuesday I think we're going to have something, but maybe not. We might be dead by then, to be honest.
I am so scared right now. Blair Witch, the movie, that line from that movie is replaying in my brain over and over again. We're going to have cool stuff for you next week too.
If we're live.
The rest of March, we have Captain Marvel that we're going to review. We have Us that we're
plan on
review.
Sleeping at some point.
We have the way too early Oscar predictions for next year that we're going to do pretty quick there.
Yes.
Relatively.
But don't forget to get us those categories, everything you want. We love interacting with you. We love hearing from you. You could reach out to us on our social medias. We are Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, at MM and Oscar on Twitter. We are Mike and Oscar at gmail.com, MikeMikeAndOscar.com, which is coming soon. And we are Mike and Oscar on Reddit. When am I going to sleep? I gotta pencil that in.
You don't need sleep.
Guys, what we say around here is that when reality sucks, come watch movies with us. And we'd like to end every episode here with Mike giving out some much-needed words of wisdom. So our big gambling preview slash official Oscars pick show, Michael.
Nobody knows nothing. Nobody knows anything. William Goldman, R.I.P. Love you, buddy.
Fair enough. Guys, we will see you next time. Spend your money wisely.